This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're listening back to our in-studio interview, including live music performances by Southwest Florida-based singer, songwriter, and guitarist Bill Metz. Metz brings his distinctive fingerstyle, Americana, roots, folk, and blues music to venues throughout the region. Metz first picked up a guitar at the age of 19 during the country blues revival in the late 1960s and has been honing his craft ever since. He's a former board member of the Americana Community Music Association here in Fort Myers. Bill Metz is also co-founder of the Southwest Florida-based nonprofit Hope by Song, which works to help people struggling with abuse, addiction, homelessness, and mental health issues through the power of song. Metz performs regularly at Three Fishermen Seafood Restaurant in North Fort Myers. You can catch his music there next on Friday, November 23rd from 3 to 6. Let's hear that conversation now. Bill Metz, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your talents with us today.
It's exciting to be here. Thank you very much.
And Bill, I thought before we got into the, any conversation portion of the show, maybe you could just start us right off with a song, if you wouldn't mind.
I would love to do that. I'm going to start with my guitar hero is Mississippi John Hurt, and I think I'll just start off with one of his songs as a tribute.
Okay, what song are we going to hear?
Make Me a Palette.
Okay, I love this song.
Me too. To cut you and stab you too. Ain't no telling what that little girl might do. Going up the country, cold white sleet and snow. I'm going up the country, cold white sleet and snow. Well, I'm going up the country where there's cold white sleet and snow. Ain't no telling how much further I may go. Make me down a pallet on your soft, make it low, so my good gal she will never know. Make me down a pallet on your floor. Come on, you good time friends of mine. Come on, you good time friends of mine. When I had a dollar, you treated me just fine. Where did you go when only had a dime? Soft, make it low, so my good gal she will never know. Make me down a pallet on your floor.
All right. That was Bill Metz, Southwest Florida-based guitarist and singer-songwriter, performing his take on Make Me a Palette. I love that song. I'm so glad you chose that first.
Thanks. That's one of my favorites.
All right. We'll be hearing more of his music throughout the hour. But I just want to learn a little bit more about you, Bill. I mentioned in my introduction a moment ago, you first picked up the guitar at the age of 19 during a country blues revival. Take us back to that time. Tell us the story.
It was during that time that there was a country blues revival. It really started in the earlier 60s. It was like 1970 or so that I picked it up. It is a funny story is that I kind of started playing as a result of a lie. I saw a young hippie girl sitting under a tree playing guitar, and she was really cute. So I walked. I wanted to get to know it, so I walked over and I said, you know, I really have always wanted to play guitar. And that was a big lie because it never even crossed my mind. Never even crossed my mind. But anyways, it turns out it was very fortunate. She said, look, I have two guitars. Why don't you take this one? I'll give you a lesson. And then I was off and running. Forgot all about the girl. Not quite. She's still a friend, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, was that like kind of like an instant connection? And I'm talking about the guitar.
Oh, without question. I was off to the races. I remember the first strum pattern she taught me, the first picking pattern she taught me, and I must have played them hours on end. I'd go to class, come home, and play guitar, go to class, come home, play guitar, and that's basically what my life was.
And had you picked up a musical instrument before then?
No, no one in my family. I don't know. It never even occurred to me. I'm telling you the truth. It never occurred to me to play an instrument.
Wow.
It was just one of those moments. You picked it up, and it was just the right time.
Well, you were at a music event, so, I mean, you must have been a pretty serious fan before, not really?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't at an event, even. I don't know. I think, you know, somehow, I picked up the guitar during that. That's when the country blues revival was going on all around the world.
Gotcha.
People had fallen in love with John Hurt and the Doc Watson and all of those folks. They were all really big all of a sudden at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never even heard any of that kind of music until I got into college. And when I heard Mississippi John Hurt, again, same deal. I'd been playing folk music for maybe 6 months. And then I accidentally ran into a Taj Mahal album. On his album, he mentioned Mississippi John Hurt as being one of his influences. So I said, let's go find Mississippi John Hurt, see where, because Taj Mahal I thought was wonderful. I figured, let's find John Hurt. And when I heard John Hurt's voice and I felt his spirit through the music, it was all over. He became my hero.
Wow.
And my first songs and, you know, that I learned in that finger-picking style were from one of his albums. And everything that I do now has that kind of mixed in somehow.
And did you ever formally take lessons, or did you continue to be taught by, or were you largely self-taught?
Not formally. Not for, like Fran, that's the
Fran.
That was the woman under the tree.
Yes.
She gave me a few lessons, and that was cool. And then I've never taken anything other than that, but I do remember one lesson from one doctor of music in Massachusetts
mm-hmm.
that changed everything, you know, they changed everything I did. But other than that, I'm pretty much self-taught.
See, that's curious to me because we talk to a lot of musicians on the show, and lots of folks are self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that would have to be easier for somebody who grew up in the internet age. Because, you know, you
right.
can watch tutorial videos online. Even if there's like a particular style or an artist you want to emulate, you can watch a video and you can hear it and you can see what they're doing with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have the benefit of that. So you would literally just have to go off of recordings to see, I want to try and sound like that.
Recordings and books.
Yeah.
And you didn't, I got to watch other people play. You know, there were lots of people. I mean, everyone was playing guitar then.
Sure.
You know, so you get to watch people play guitar and a lot of books. I used a lot of books that had tab to begin with. And then you get to a point. What happens is you get to a point where when you understand what's going on and I patterned my fingers. They were just into a pattern. I could carry on conversations while I was doing certain things with my fingers.
Yeah.
And when you get your fingers patterned, then it becomes art because you can make them do what you want them to do. And you get an idea and you can put it into operation.
All right.
You know,
so. Well, I don't want to deprive our listeners of many moments of without music that we don't need to. So let's go ahead and hear our second song. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe just tell us the title and tell
this
us a little...
This song is. I mean, I think I'll do this one first. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I have a list of songs, but you never follow them.
Sure.
This one here was the result. As a matter of fact, I was part of the. I ran the songwriter circle for the ACMA for about 4 years. And every Sunday, you know, people would come in and we'd give challenges, songwriting challenges. This particular songwriting challenge was to write a song about colors.
Oh.
And I swore to myself that I would not write about the blues. I was even trying to avoid playing the blues, you know. It's a personal thing of mine. Everybody thinks that I should be playing the blues, you know. But I wouldn't. I said I would not write. I wouldn't even include the color blue in the song, but I couldn't do it. But the song is called Stay Away from the Blues.
So. All right.
It starts with yellow. Add a little blue. Now you're green with envy. That's not good for you. You take some red. You add a little blue. Now you're purple with rage. Might could even hurt you. Rainbows are wonderful things, foretell of brighter days to be. Who knows what the future may bring? I hope you're listening to me. Wonderful things, foretell of brighter days to be. Who knows what the future may bring? I hope you're listening to me. You take some black, you add a little blue. That's what you're gonna feel like when it gets hold of you. So let this be a cautionary tale. Be careful what you do. Use all the colors of the rainbow, darling. Stay away from the blues. Stay away from the blues. Stay away.
All right, Southwest Florida's own Bill Metz. That was him performing his original song, Stay Away from the Blues. And he's going to be performing music throughout this hour of Gulf Coast Live. And, you know, you're really known for your, you know, the finger-picking style.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping you could tell me a bit about that because, you know, it's a beautiful sound, but it looks a lot more challenging than perhaps, you know, the more traditional style of, you know, just drumming straight chords.
Right. Yeah. I can remember when I was learning, everyone was playing the same way. They were playing the same songs in the same style, and I wanted to do something different. And besides that, I grew up listening to Motown. I can, you know, that's what my family listened to. We listened to Motown, rhythm and blues, and my dad had a massive, when I say massive, you know, for the time, he had a very large record collection, and being one of those big Motorola stereo things,
yeah.
So, you know, with these big bulky headphones, and but his collection included, anywhere from Burl Ives to John Coltrane, and when no one was home, I would just grab one out and put it on, and I'd listen to a wide variety of music. I loved Mary McKeeba. I loved Burl Ives, like I was saying, Benny Goodman. I just listened to Frank Sinatra. I listened to all kinds of music as when I was growing up, and I learned to appreciate it. But when I discovered, again, this fingerstyle,
mm-hmm.
I learned that I can take just about anything, any song, and put it into this fingerstyle. My love was really singing. And there were times when if I didn't feel like singing, I could still play the song and people could recognize it. I could sing it if I wanted to, but if I didn't want to, I'd just play it and people would recognize it. And the fingerstyle, it's not hard. You know, it really is a matter of, it's like, I guess the best analogy that I can think of right at this particular moment, it's like skipping. You just pattern yourself. You work it out and you pattern yourself and then you do it. And I started with simple picking patterns, and then another simple one, and then another simple one. Next thing you know, I was combining simple picking patterns. And that's what I want to tell everybody if they're listening and thinking about playing, wanting to play fingerstyle. It's not that hard. You learn simple patterns, and then you combine them.
And that's just such intricacy and texture. I really,
it's beautiful. It really does. Oh. I like it because, again, like I said, I can play and sing and not sing if I don't want to.
Well, and touching on something you had just said a moment ago about how you can add the finger picking to other genres of music, do you venture far outside of Americana or folk style music you perform?
Far outside folk, you know. I guess when we're talking about Americana, I'll play Gershwin, and I'll play. As a matter of fact, it's a funny thing. I can remember when I first moved here. I had just come from Massachusetts, and I'd been playing in the nursing homes for 10 years or so up there. And I came down here, and I had a great big collection of Gershwin and Cole Porter and Harold Ahl and Irving Berlin tunes. And when I went to my very first open mic here, and I played, and no one was there, but I played a full half hour of Gershwin and Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, like I said, wow. Full half hour of that stuff, finger style. And when I go back the next week, somebody said, I remember you play great blues. And I remember saying to myself, well, it wasn't really blues. But that's what he heard. But it has that people aren't used to it being played that way. So that's kind of, they had to put it in some sort of category. I like it all. And I really do, Over the Rainbow. I mean, you know, it's like, what's his name? Chet Atkins and those guys. They took any song that they felt like playing and they put it into that fingerstyle.
Yeah. And going back to the first song that you played, you know, Make Me a Pallet, I was first introduced to that song through Gillian Welch. And then so obviously a latecomer. Mm-hmm. But then I love discovering older versions of that song. And I really think that's something that maybe isn't necessarily unique to Americana, but a lot of these songs are so old, and so many artists who have come along have sort of, you know, put their own stamp on them.
That's what I consider. Is what I consider Americana. That I can't say any like country. All of the genres really, and when it comes right down to it, that are here, were born here, are Americana. All of them are.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to. The idea of categorizing music in general seems odd to me.
Okay.
It really does.
Well, Bill, let's hear another song. And again, tell us what we're going to hear and maybe tell us a little bit about it first.
Well, I think what I'd like to do is a song from Hope by Song.
We're going to get to that in the conversation.
I'll do something else. How about, can I do a song for old folks, the old folks?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do a song for the old folks. There you go. Let me ask you a question while I'm doing this.
Sure.
Is there anything, if I mention a product name, can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Here we go. My boy and I were sitting around the kitchen table talking one night. We were just having a little chat. When the subject changed to getting old, that's a topic I'm familiar with. So I told him that it was a drag watching my hair fall out and watching my body get soft and round. And I said, son, sometimes I get so tired I feel like I'm adrift at sea waiting for my ship to run aground. When that boy got up from the table, he was shaking his head. He took a step or two, turned around and said, I'm so sorry, Dad. I said, hold on, son. Come back here, please, sit down. There ain't no need for you to feel bad. Now, when he did come back, he had a guitar in his hand. And he said, Dad, I appreciate this bonding thing. So, If you don't mind, I hope you'd be so kind as to sit and listen to the song I wrote for you. And he began to sing. When you get up and walk into another room, may you always remember why. And wherever you go in the whole wide world, may there be a restroom nearby. May your depends never bunch and all your farts be dry, but have another pair around just in case. Oh, you know that's just a joke, ain't no need to have a stroke. May you age with grace. May all your debts be paid and all amends be made long before you are dead. When the family is sitting around the kitchen table talking, I hope that you can hear everything that's said. And when you talk, may your dentures stay in place. May all your photos be taken before the wrinkles cover your face. All kidding aside, that you're my dad brings me pride. And may you age with grace. I can tell by what you do that when I'm as old as you, there will still be some fun to be had. I hope when I'm your age, turning the last page, that my kids don't tease me like I'm teasing you, Dad. Able to keep mama in a happy place, but have Viagra by the bedside just in case. Oh, you know I'm just playing, and it goes without saying, may you age with grace. Now, Daddy, I am just toying. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying watching you age with grace.
All right, Bill Metz is joining us live in studio for the hour. I'm going to guess the title of that song is Age with Grace.
Yes, it is.
Love that. And that was an original as well?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Fun song.
I mean, the idea did come up from a conversation with my son.
Really?
Sitting at the kitchen table talking about getting old. And he did. He lowered his head and he said, "Oh, Dad, I am so sorry."
Has he taken up a musical interest?
As a matter of fact, yes, he has. I'm so proud of my son. I really am. He's followed his dreams. He told us at 4 years old, he said he wanted to be a herpetologist. Sure enough, he has his license to handle venomous snakes. He's a nature photographer, and he is a musician as well. He has He's in a band. He's a drummer. He can play guitar. He can sing. He's just cool and very intelligent. Nice guy, too. Just a plain old nice guy.
Oh, excellent. That is extraordinarily specific for a four-year-old.
I know. Tell me about it, right? I know. I'll be darned, but he chased it.
Right. And so I imagine whenever you two get together, there must be a lot of music.
it's music, and it's just like we talk about art quite often. We're both artists at heart. He definitely is, and it's nice to be able to have very meaningful conversations with your son. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, I want to go ahead and you know, for the next part of the conversation, sort of set up the Hope by Song number that I know you had wanted to play. And first of all, you know, you're co-founder of Hope by Song.
Yes.
For folks who aren't familiar with the concept, what is this nonprofit all about?
Well, what we do, we believe in the power of music. We also believe we believe in the power of writing. The idea of, you know, having great trauma, emotional trauma inside, and sometimes things get locked up in there, and your thoughts get rolling around in your head, and you get confused, and if you don't let them out, they hurt you or someone else in another way. Getting them out on paper really helps. Speaking from personal experience, I remember experiences, and it's ongoing. It's what happens is that when I write something down, I'll be feeling something. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'll write things down, and as I'm doing it, from feeling, I can see what's happening, and I can choose what thoughts, in a sense, to hold on to and what thoughts I need to let go of. But we encourage people to write. We go into, agencies that are helping people deal with emotional issues. The ACT program in Fort Myers. We've gone to Salus Care, Sovereign Health when it was still around, Valerie's House. We've worked with Victims Advocacy Services, Children's Advocacy. Yeah. But we go in and we have people, clients of these agencies sit, and we talk to them about the power of writing and the power of music. And we play some of the songs that have come out of, doing this for, 5 or 6 years. And a way to try to inspire them to create their, to put their own writings down. And then we take those songs and we record them, if they want us to use their words to create songs. We create the songs, we record them and give them back to them on CD. And then we use the songs also to educate the public and generate a greater understanding and more compassion for people in the community, in our community, who are dealing with things that are very tough to deal with. And do you understand?
It's such a unique form of music therapy.
It's very, very powerful. It is my musical home. Right now, it is my musical home. I can't think of anything that I would love to do more.
And you and Nita Flores, who, if you're in the music scene here locally, you know that name.
Yes, you do.
Is this something that you conceived of together?
Or? Yeah, well, the way it started with the ACMA. The ACMA is another big. It started with the ACMA. In doing the songwriter circle, we want to serve the community somehow. And the songwriter circle was one of the ways we were inviting the community in, and we wanted to take it a step further. Mm-hmm. And that's how the idea of Hope by Song was, evolved. And at some point, there was a separation, and Hope by Song went one way, ACMA went the other way. And, I love the ACMA. I go over there all the time. So it isn't like this, terrible thing. It was just a split. And so Nita and I were both on the board. We both followed Hope by Song. Mm-hmm. And it's growing. We are now on the Lee County's network, Human Service Network, which is really it has pushed us to the point where we really need to think about how we're going to grow, because we need to grow, because we're getting a lot more requests for our services.
So you need more composing musicians.
Yeah, that would really help. But the group that we have right now is good and very dedicated, and I love working with these folks.
I wanted to get into, your process when it comes to songwriting, but just while we're on the subject of Hope by Song, there's got to be like more of a seriousness or a weight to putting music to someone else's words about their own mm-hmm. traumatic experiences. I mean, when you're working on your own songs, you can change them around or do what you want. But when it's someone else's story, I mean, you got to hold that carefully.
You do. You have to hold it very carefully. We try. We do our best to actually maintain all of the actual words that people give us. Sometimes they'll give us 3 or 4 lines, and that'll be it. Hmm. But we try to make sure that we get those 3 or 4 lines almost word for word as much as we can into the song. And what we definitely hold on to the intent. They will have they write the words for a reason, to express something. We do our best not to lose that intent when we write. Sometimes there are things that I can relate to.
Yeah.
In the music or the words, and that'll pull music right out of me. Other times you have to work at it, but
yeah. I mean, do you encourage them to write in a style that's maybe more poetic or that's like song lyrics?
No, as a matter of fact, we try to discourage it. Not really discourage it, but we make sure that people understand we're not asking them to write a song.
Okay.
All we want them to do is write, because the writing is very powerful. It is. It's a powerful therapeutic medium all on its own. Mm-hmm. So we just want people to write. Just write. And even if they don't give it to us, I don't really care. You know,
right.
Don't give it to us. But in any case, journal, write. That's a big point. But if they want us to, we'll take it, because you add the element of music and it becomes even more powerful, and we use it. We're, in a sense, what we say to them is, we're asking you to join us, because we are going to take these words. We're going to go out on the road and we're going to play them for someone else who your words may open them up, may help free them of some of their own pain. And it's join us. That's what we say.
Wow, what a unique way to share experiences in a healing way. Well, on that note, I think you were going to play a song that was born out of Hope by Song. Can before you play it, can you just tell us maybe a little about it?
Well, this particular song I'm going to play is called "Daddy Fell in Love with a Bottle." It came out of Sailor's Care. I remember, I'll never forget the man who walked up to me. His name was Shane, and it looked like he wrote it right then and there while we were doing our presentation of the program. And he said, well, he gave it to me specifically and said, I'd like you to do it in a country style. And then as he turned around, and then he turned back and said, wait a minute, and I want you to understand, it has to be in, I'm talking about Hank Sr., not Hank Jr.
Oh, gosh.
So he was very specific.
Yes.
So I did it, and The words themselves, I mean, my personal experience from my own family life as a young kid, you know, the idea of daddy falling in love with a bottle was real. So I read it, and I knew right away that that I could do it. And, again, the words aren't, the words that he gave me aren't exactly, but his words are in here. You know, okay? It's called "Daddy Fell in Love with a Bottle." And Hank Williams, Conway Twitty, all of those guys, you know, and there's the style. My daddy, he fell in love with a bottle, and he drank his life away. My daddy fell in love with a bottle, and he drank his life away. Mama left him 'cause she knew that his mistress was cold as ice and would bring us nothing but a life of pain. Daddy couldn't handle his emotions. This is something that I know. Daddy couldn't handle his emotions. This is something that I know. His love for that bottle was stronger than his love for us, and it drowned him in a life of sorrow. Now, Daddy, the tables have turned, and I'm walking in your shoes. I look at those empty bottles, the powder-covered mirror, and Daddy, all I see is you. Now, whenever Mama looks at me, all she can do is cry. Whenever Mama looks at me, all she can do is cry. Just like with Daddy, you see, whenever Mama looks at me, it brings a tear of sadness, oh,
to her eyes. My daddy fell in love with a bottle, and he drank his life away.
Wow, powerful song. It was Daddy Fell in Love with the Bottle, performed by Bill Metz. Music he composed based on the words and experiences of another through the nonprofit Hope by Song. Very powerful. I wonder, when you're writing something like that, and you had mentioned being able to personally relate, I mean, there's just something about music that can elicit emotions. I mean, do you kind of find working with other people and maybe helping them through music overcome or work through a trauma, it's also therapeutic for you?
Without question. Yeah. Without question. I like it, you draw from it. And you know what? Even if it isn't in my experience, it's just the idea of their pain. You know, it's, yeah, in a sense, you end up sharing their pain. And then experiencing compassion in that way is it's healthy.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It's a healthy thing.
Have you ever seen folks who have, you know, had songs created through the Hope by Song nonprofit actually kind of, you know, then develop their own interest in music as well?
Interest in music. I mean, there. When we do it, sometimes what will happen, someone will come in and they will already play.
Yeah.
And they will have written things on their own. And some of them are very good, and others will want to. They play, but they don't play their own songs. But they write. They actually will journal, but they don't take those things and put them to music.
Right.
Letting them know that it's possible is a great thing. They will give us a writing. We'll make it into a song. Hopefully from there they will go. Actually, knowing someone right at the moment? No, I don't think I do. I mean, I hope I'm not forgetting something. I'm old, though. That's my excuse.
Right. Well, I just want to note right now, we have a comment from Tony Gubelman via Facebook. He writes, I've known Bill for over 35 years and have played music with him many times. Wonderful musician and even better person. Love from the Berkshires. Sounding great as always. Thanks so much for the comment, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
And of course, I want to encourage other listeners out there, if you want to join our conversation, our phone lines are open. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You're also welcome to reach us through social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And while we're already talking about songwriting, I kind of wanted to talk about, your personal approach. And are you one of those disciplined types who regularly sits down to, you know, write music at regular times? Or is it just more like when the inspiration strikes is when it happens?
It's for me, it is without question a therapy. And I don't sit down every day. I write something every day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's only one sentence, but it's that I've made into a real habit, and I've been doing it since I moved down here 6 years. And I moved down here in 2004, but 6 years ago when I met Nita, and she was encouraging me to write. But I think when I started writing, I realized what it was doing for me, how it was helping me work through some things. So now, like I said, I write something every day, one sentence. But in terms of building songs, usually it does happen that I'll get something. When something's coming up, I'm not really good at just getting it out. I don't just really look at it and say, oh, I understand that, or yeah, what's happening inside. Things are a little foggy. And so I will sit down and I'll start just writing about whatever, and it's usually about what I'm feeling, not what I'm thinking. And that's what my songs will come out of that. Sometimes it'll be a piece of music that I'll hear that'll bring up a feeling, and I'll start writing about the feeling. Other times I will need it. I'll write a song about a specific incident, mm-hmm, something that happened. It won't necessarily say this happened and that happened, but the song will, for me, address an issue.
Yeah. More often than not, it sounds like the words come first, or does it really just depend?
The theme generally will come before anything. I'll have a theme. The theme, like if I like I was going to do a song called A Conversation with Death, you know, that started as a result of losing a friend.
Yeah.
The song Age with Grace, I mean, it really was a matter of, you know, having that conversation with my son and talking about it. A couple of others, another one called Off the Beaten Path. I have this tendency to hide. I have friends out there, lots of people out there who are used to seeing me. And then all of a sudden I'll disappear. I'll be gone for weeks.
Isolation mode.
Yeah. That's, I get into that. And I guess I've always felt self-conscious about it, about the idea that all of a sudden I'm hiding and I wonder what people are thinking about me. So I wrote a song about it. I had friends. This one, that particular one, I had friends help me with. But the idea was to write about something that concerns me in my life and my interaction with the world.
You know, aside from Hope by Song, do you tend to write collaboratively, or do you kind of prefer?
Very, very seldom. Very, yeah. Very seldom. I don't find it to be very. I find it to be uncomfortable, honestly.
Yeah, I do.
I find it to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
And I know we kind of talked about this a little bit before, you know, with the cover tunes and you know, this Americana music. Mm-hmm. But when you perform out in public, do you tend to stick to originals, or do you also like to perform covers? And
that depends on where I am.
Okay.
Say if I'm at a place like the ACMA, or I've been up to the.
Oh, that's covers. I mean, originals. I'm sorry.
I like to do that up in places of that nature where people are going to sit and listen and know they're going to listen. I prefer to do originals.
Oh, sure.
And but you know, if I'm out playing at a restaurant or something like that for the folks who are sitting and eating, they don't know. They're people usually there to gather and talk, and you know, I don't do originals because no one's going to listen anyway. I do them if I like them because I want to, just for fun. But generally, it's covers when in that kind of a situation.
Do you think it's important to, you know, kind of put your own stamp on them, like we were talking about earlier, how, you know, there's these, you know, traditional songs in the Americana, well, tradition, and everybody does them their own unique way. I mean, do you like to put your own style on those songs?
When you think about doing, a Gershwin tune or a Cole Porter tune in fingerstyle, you have to put your own spin on it, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. Even with John Hurt, even though, like, when I did two, and I can think of two specific Mississippi John Hurt tunes that I took note for note. And once I got to the point where my fingers, where I understood the process, the how it worked, it was like, man, I don't need to do that anymore. I can pull that same melody, that same feel out. And even though it'll sound something like him, everybody who knows his music will say, obviously John Hurt's at the foundation of that, but it's not really exactly what he did, which is so. That's, right. I try to stay away from exact copies of anything that I do. What's the point?
Yeah.
And the same thing, I try to stay away from songs that everybody else does. My repertoire is diverse and unusual. You know, there are times I'm sitting in a place and say, can we look at your song list? And they'll look and they'll say, you know, we don't know a single thing on here. But they will like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But they won't recognize a single tune. Mm. Just say, okay, go ahead, play another one.
Well, I'm going to say that too. Play another one for us. What are we going to hear now?
Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and do A Conversation with Death.
All right.
I lost a friend back in 2011, and it was a new friend, relatively new friend. I met him in like 2005. Should I say his name? His name is Tommy Powell. He lived 77 years right here in Fort Myers. But anyway, when he passed away, I really wanted to play with him. I really wanted to play music with him. I loved who he was, and I just felt like I didn't get enough time. So I got angry, I guess. And I wanted to ask death some questions. So the song was, came as a result of him saying, well, what would my questions be and what might death's answers be? So that's what this is. It was a hot summer day on a long dusty road. I was on the way to see my daddy. He lived all alone down on Purgatory Road since the day that my mama passed away.
something seems amiss. I can't tell what it is, but the chill in this hot summer air don't seem right. So I turn around to see what the trouble might be. I find myself staring death right in the eye. Her eyes burned like fire, voice like a cool mountain stream, and the air smelled of sweet fertile ground. I fell down on my knees, I gave out a primal scream, 'cause I know that's where my body's bound. There was nowhere to hide. Why me? Why now? I cried. I want to say I love you to my children one time more. Let me do one more good deed, or maybe just plant a seed before you leave me all alone at death's door. She said, I know that you think that I am evil, and you don't understand the things that I do. But of this have no doubt, it ain't me you need worry about. It's time and it's fate coming to get you. Then she said, honey, don't you worry now, your time here is not yet done. I can't say more than that, but this I will confide. Oh, then that woman death leaned in close, I could feel her breath. She said, fear is your enemy, let love be your guide. Let love be your guide. Then she touched me. It was not cold like I thought it would be, but filled me with a peace of mind I couldn't believe. I closed my eyes, took in the feeling, the whole world started reeling. When I opened my eyes, it was a cool summer's eve. My mind was all hazy, I thought I was going crazy. I ran to my daddy's house, filled with an unexplainable joy. There he was, standing at the door, and he said, boy, what you so late for? I cried on my daddy's shoulder like a little boy. I don't know how and I don't know why. Lord knows that I don't know when I will find myself naked and alone at death's door. Oh, but this I can say, but since my talk with death that day, I am not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I am not afraid anymore. Love as my guide, the good Lord at my side, I am not afraid anymore.
Bill Metz is our guest in studio today. That was his song, A Conversation with Death. Thank you so much for coming in and performing. Great song.
My pleasure. Mm. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Your bio mentioned some of the interesting places music has taken you. You performed at the Mississippi John Hurt Blues Festival in Avalon back in 2011. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, that was a great experience. You know, it's a funny thing. I mean, there's so much more to that for me personally. My family. There was a period of about 30 years when, I mean, I'd been playing my guitar for, you know, since I was a kid. And I never played for my family.
Really?
I never played for them. They didn't like what I was doing. They didn't like I was playing, doing folk music and, hey there, Cinnamon, where are you going to run to? And, like, you know, so on and so forth. And they didn't like it. And, I got some comments, and it was such a big part of me that when you know, I was ridiculed, I just had to stay away. But 10 years ago. Somehow I ended up at my sister, my older sister, and my brother-in-law, their 40th wedding anniversary. And I was in, for some reason, when I got there, it was in Louisiana. I went, drove to Louisiana, and they hid me in a closet. This is a prelude to the whole thing, how I got there. And I played, I came out of the closet and played a spiritual for my sister. And I hadn't seen them in 15 years or so. And it was this big teary-eyed, blubbery fest. And my oldest brother was there. And somehow that connected us. That whole music experience connected us. And we went on a road trip. And on this road trip, we're driving up Mississippi from Louisiana, driving up 55 towards Clarksdale. Mm-hmm. And there was this little teeny white sign on the side of the road, white sign arrow that had black letters that said Avalon, which is where Mississippi John Hurt lived. And I just threw a fit in the car and said, "Oh, we've got to go." My brother was like, "Ah, no." Nah. But we ended up going into Avalon to the museum. And there I was standing on Mississippi John Hurt's steps. For me, it was a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
I'm standing on his steps playing my guitar and singing, walk into his house, and I sit in his chair and in his living room, and I'm sitting down playing my guitar. And it infected my brother, too. You know, he got it. And while I was there playing, the curator of the museum heard me play, and he called Mary Hurt, John's granddaughter in Chicago, and they held up the iPhone while I was playing. And they said, "Oh, please come play at the festival," which was the following September.
Wow.
And so my brother and I, again, we went back. And all I know is that it's been wonderful. It's been a nice reconnecting with the family and my brothers. And I got to play at my hero's place. I mean, John Hurt really changed my life.
That's wonderful, and unfortunately, we are about at the end of the hour, but that is a great...
Oh, my goodness.
All right?
Oh, Lordy,
so
really?
It goes fast.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, I want to make sure we have time to hear, you know, a bit of one more song here.
Okay.
But just real quickly, I do want to let folks know you can check out more about Bill Metz and hear some of his music online at metzmusic.com. That's M-E-T-T-S music.com. And you can catch him perform live Friday, November 23rd from 3 to 6 at Three Fishermen Seafood Restaurant in North Fort Myers. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks so much for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And Bill Metz, one more time, take us away.
Where I'm hiding, you won't find me, 'cause I'm staying off the beaten path. I'm not lonely, just alone, won't answer the door or the telephone. This peace of mind, I'm gonna make it last. I don't wanna hear from nobody, watch TV or read the news. Everything I see or hear just gives me the blues. Where I'm hiding, you won't find me, 'cause I'm staying off the beaten path. I ain't got no lovers, no dog to walk, nobody to invade my privacy. Ain't asking for your time, do me a favor, don't ask for mine. I'm gonna spend some precious moments just on me. You know it ain't that bad playing solitaire. I got no worries, got no cares. I ain't got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. Where I'm hiding, you won't find me, 'cause I'm staying off the beaten path.